You're listening to the Bethel Community Church Podcast. Our podcast normally showcases our weekly sermons here in Chicago at 7601 West Foster. Now, podcasts are great, but they do not replace the care and community you receive from the local church or from your local pastor. So we encourage you to come, join our community, or contact us to help you find a community in your area. We pray the Lord speaks to you as you listen. Enjoy.
So turn your Bibles to Galatians 5. We continue in our series through the book of Galatians. I'm really excited about this passage this week. We've been building towards this really all series in a lot of ways is to get to this point. If you remember last week, we had that comparison between Sarah and Hagar. And the passage closed with this pronouncement. In verse 31 of chapter 4, it said, "So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman." It was like a reckoning moment for them where they understand and they know, hey, this is who you are. This is who you've been called to be. And so for them to live in that and own that and embrace that. And now what Paul is going to do for the rest of the book is really show what that freedom looks like. So even as we look through the verses today, be watching for the word free or freedom and how it plays out and what he has to say about it. So let's read through it one time through. We're going to go verses 1 through 15, Galatians chapter 5. You guys ready to go? Me too. Let's do it. Okay, verse 1. "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view and that the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." Starts off here in verse 1, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." I told you we're going to be seeing freedom all throughout it, and it's repeated, and it's really what Paul is going to be trying to show. What does this freedom look like? He's worked hard to show the bondage. Well, what does it look like to be free? Well, what have we been set free from? The word free means to release, to cause someone who was once hindered or in bondage to be set free from that. So as this says, Christ has set us free, a great question would be, well, what does he set us free from? Well, first of all, he set us free from the bondage of the law. That's one thing. We've seen that throughout the book, and he's worked hard throughout the whole book to even talk about the bondage of what the law is. The law was overwhelming. It was impossible for them or anyone to follow it at every single point. There was an element of bondage connected to it. We have seen it referred to over and over as that. Imagine the freedom and release of just that alone. If they were told, listen, the law as you've been following it no longer needs the attention that you've been giving it. Imagine that release. Christ has set you free. The second thing we've been free from is the freedom of the punishment that we deserve from our sin. There's a punishment that we deserve, separation from God, our relationship from God severed. We've been free from the bondage of that curse. Through the forgiveness of sins that only Christ can offer us, there's a freedom that is there to enjoy a relationship, to be reconciled, as Colossians talks about. Imagine, internalize the release from a punishment that you couldn't do anything to release yourself from. The third thing that we're released from is free from sin. We're no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. Where before our desires were controlled to live out these destructive, sinful patterns and cycles, well, now we have the Spirit. And now we're free to pursue righteousness. God has declared us righteous. Imagine the significance of being freed from sin in that way. It's not to say that we don't still wrestle with it in our life, but there's a freedom from that being our master. It's no longer our master. You have been set free. You have been released from those oppressive things. So a couple of weeks ago, my brother Andy reached out to me. And he asked me if I wanted to be part of a steeplechase bike challenge in the city of Chicago. Now, if right now you're like, oh, wow, I didn't know that Mark was an avid biker. I'm not. He is. He bikes to work every single day. Rain, shine, snow. If he went to work last Sunday in that monsoon, he would have biked. He would have biked in that. That's just who he is. That's how he does it. So he heard about this bike challenge. And you need to partner up or put a team together or whatever. And you are given 10 challenges and you have to plot out a way around the whole city and do these 10 challenges around the city. And you take pictures and you post it. And sounded fun. Time to hang out with my brother. Good time. Now, before we started, Andy looks at the challenges and we start talking through what we want to do. And he starts mapping it out. And he texted me, I think like a day or two before, and he said, my early guesstimation is that we're going to be biking somewhere around 18 miles. I know that that's a lot. I didn't know like how much a lot that was about to be. I'm like, 18, okay, I'm not jogging 18 miles. I can roll 18 miles. Let's do this. So we get started. We hop on the 606. Awesome bike trail through the city. And I don't know how long we had been biking at this point, but my thighs are feeling it. And it's been a while since I biked. But like, I'm really feeling it. I'm out of breath. And now this trail, the 606, it's got the mile markers on the ground, okay? Which I happen to, at this point, be locked in just looking at the ground. So I see the mile markers going past, and I can see I've only gone about a mile, and I'm in trouble. Like, it's burning. My thighs are burning. I'm so out of breath. And I'm like, I'm going to do this 17 more times. All of a sudden, rolling didn't seem so easy. So our first stop, our first challenge is about 5 miles away from where we started. And we get there, and I start thinking, okay, like, how can I prolong this stop as long as I can? It's like the water break. I'm pretending like I know what stretches to do. Take the picture, and I'm like, do we really, you know, what else we got? Like, we got all day. We can take our time because my legs are done. So all of a sudden, Andy looks, and he takes an interest in my bike. And he's looking at it. And he's like, hey, do you know your brake of your bike is actually partially clamped down on your wheel? Turns out that affects something. Like I said, not an avid biker. So he gets a tool out and he starts working on it. He gets to work there and he releases the brake and he puts it back in the right spot. And he goes, here, try that. That should be better. It was a lot better. Pretty sure that the wheel not being held captive by the brake and being pressed down by the brake, pretty sure that was going to be better. Pretty sure the release of that brake was going to help me experience a sort of freedom that I had not experienced the first 5 miles. That's what Paul is saying here. You've been released. You walked, you ran, you experienced the oppression. You experienced what it was like for that brake to be on and clamped down and how much tougher that made it. You've been released from that. It's better. You've been released from those former things. You're entering into something better. Well, what are we entering into? Well, it says here, for freedom, Christ has set us free. You've been released from those things for the sake of freedom. That sounds a little bit redundant, but that word actually means the state of freedom. It's the place of enjoying the freedom from which you were just released into. You're no longer under constraint, and now you experience the delight and the joy of what it means to be in that place of freedom. You're enjoying the benefits of what you've received. The release from sin and punishment has its benefits. For us to experience and live out every single day of our life. You think I felt that on the bike? We hop back on the bike and I'm like, I hope that was it. We start going, I'm like, wow, my legs feel fine. All of a sudden I'm looking around. There's the Hancock, there's the lakefront. I'm experiencing freedom. I'm experiencing the goodness and the benefits of what it took to release me from what was before. I'm experiencing incredible people watching on the lakefront, if you've ever seen it, just incredible. Now I'm enjoying these things that I wasn't before. There was sweet relief in this place called freedom because I had been set free. Christ has set us free from those things so that you would experience that place of freedom. And there's something to experience there, and there's something to live there, and there's something to know there, and there's something to feel in that place of freedom. And it's with that in mind that he says, stand firm, therefore. Can you imagine if I felt that freedom and my legs felt better and I'm not breathing as heavily and I start to go and I'm like, yeah, I kind of missed the break, and I just start to clamp down on it. Ah, there we go. There's the burn I missed. Be ridiculous. Now stand firm in what you know now. It tells the Galatians, you were given this. Don't go back. Don't you know how good this feels? Don't you know how good this is? Now, as good as freedom is, history tells us people want to go back. Think about the Israelites, right? Miraculously freed from the bondage of Egypt. Get through the Red Sea, all the plagues, all that stuff. They're out in the wilderness, you know. And at some point, they start complaining. They're like, yeah, it's kind of better back there. Can we go back? Sometimes we want to put ourselves back. They wanted to. The Galatians also. They had been freed from the law. They were experiencing that place of delight, of freedom. And now here they are saying, well, I think I'll take parts of it back. It's like, no, stand firm in the freedom. No, it was freedom that you were set free. It was for that. Stand firm in that place. We do that, though, don't we? Before we pick on the Galatians, we do that. We have our ways that we've been set free from sin and bondage. All those things that we're talking about. From the temptation of trying to do things on our own, by our own effort, with our own hands, and here we go back into that mindset, and we start trying to qualify ourselves by what we do and how we do it. We start trying to work again, and that feeling of accomplishment in our faith and what we've done and how hard we've worked and how much we've served and all these qualifiers that we can put out. working hard to improve our image, external behavior, all these things we can make our own. It's easy to do and go back into a place. But I tell you this morning, stand firm in the freedom that you've received. You don't need to go back there. He actually says here, do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. You were once yoked up, connected to, attached to slavery. It makes me think about what Jesus says when he's like, are you weary? Do you need rest? Yoke up with me. My burden is light. Here, what Paul does is he uses yoke to say, you were yoked up with slavery. That is not a light burden to carry. You were attached and connected and walking through, literally plowing through the fields of life in the slavery that you once lived. You don't need to submit to that again. Do not submit to that again. Your freedom allows you not to submit to that again. Look at verse 2. If you accept circumcision, Christ is no advantage. It makes me think about the lyrics that we sang all together today. Christ is enough. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough. If you start to accept the law back, if you start to go back to that Christ, that freedom that he brought you to is of no advantage because you're jumping right back in and yoking back up into the slavery. You take on part of it. You take on all of it. Our freedom is rooted entirely in the work of Jesus Christ. If Christ is of no advantage, what that means is you are not existing and that you can never exist within and fully fulfill. No one can be free and carry the whole law. No one can be existing free in Christ and at the same time be looking to do it on their own. This book has worked really hard up until this letter, up until this point, to really continue to emphasize that with us. But what does it look like? What does it look like to be in that freedom? We understand that it's not the law, and we understand the bondage that that is. But let's start to look at the positive. What would it look like for you and for me, for us to exist in this freedom and to experience that together? Well, look at verse 5. In 6, it says this, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. This is a huge part that shows us what our freedom looks like. Our freedom allows us to be transformed, to look more like Jesus through the Spirit in which he's put in us. We have the hope of righteousness. Each day is an opportunity for us to be transformed, to look more like Jesus. And that's the freedom that we're in, that we even have that opportunity. Now, what drives us to live that holy life? What causes us to be transformed? What is the motive and the desire behind every day us looking to live holy lives in freedom to Christ and to God alone? Well, what causes it is what it says there, but only faith working through love. Our motive is love, a love for God. Our faith is demonstrated through love. Love is what pleases God. Love is what we've received from God. And when we are in a place of freedom, our love for God becomes our motive for everything that we do and how we live. Our faith is expressed out of that love that we've received. And now we get to give that back to God, and we get to let our lives be changed, and we get to be transformed more to look like him. Compare that for just a second with the law. What was obedience to the law? So often did we see it was out of fear. It was a cultural requirement. There was legalism from the Pharisees and really beating it down. You have to do this way. And if you don't, there's shame put on you. And there's all these things. And now it's like, listen. It's not about the fear. It's not about the shame. It's not about the law. Right now, it's about that you have been loved and saved. And now, out of love, you live for God. That's a place of freedom. Now, everything that drives and motivates you to be changed and to look more like Jesus isn't based on what someone else is going to say about you or think about you. It's entirely done out of a place of, I love God. I want to please him. That's a place of freedom that we exist out of and in and live in. Yesterday, I went to the Cubs game with Sarah. It was a perfect day for a Cubs game. It was so much fun. Now, she had told me at like the start of the summer that she really wanted to go to a Cubs game. And so, you know, it was on my radar, let's do this. And we did, and we went, and there's things that I know that she likes. I know that she likes nachos at the game. So we start talking about nachos on the drive to the game. Where are we going to get nachos? Then we're there and we're like, we see Big Star Tacos across the street. We're like, okay, we could get nachos in the stadium or we could get them afterwards there and they're a lot better. We see pictures, reviews, we're locked in. Start making our plan. Okay. Pizza. It's like snacks here, walk around here, everything. The Cubs game, we're just indulging in and delighting in. Do you think that day for me yesterday was anything about rules of how to please Sarah? Like, oh, I should probably nachos, ugh. No, I love her. I'm excited to experience this and do, and I love going to the Cubs games too. And it's motivated by love. It's not expectation. Or what are other people gonna think about me if I don't get her nachos? They're going to say I'm this person. No, it's a place of freedom of, no, I just love her. My kids, they love whatever the stadium has given away before the game. There's a bobblehead of a player that they've never heard of. We got there early to get the bobbleheads. Was that because of a rule? Is that because I felt guilted into it or was fearful of what Nora or James would say to me if I didn't get them the bobblehead? Actually, no. It was motivated out of a place of love. You, followers of Jesus, are motivated to live with purpose of righteousness in your lives being transformed day in and day out, not out of fear or shame or law, but out of love. Think about what you've received. In love, he sent his son to save us. In love, we've received that. We've experienced the most profound gift of love that has ever happened in the history of the world ever. And now you've been marked by that, and that's on your heart, and you've received that. And now you get to, in freedom, live that out every day to him. To pursue righteousness for any other motive is to jump right back into slavery. It's a beautiful thing that he gives us life for you. Or is it, oh, it's Sunday, I should probably go. Oh, I haven't read my Bible, probably should do that. Guilt, oh, shame, feel bad. Is it love motivating you? And if not, refresh yourself in the love that you've received and just bask in that and enjoy it. And out of that flows the motive for how you live each day after that. Verse 7, look at it. It says, you were running so well. Who hindered you? Hindered brings back to mind the yoke from earlier, to be yoked to slavery, which would not ease your burden at all. It's like, who made this heavier for you? You were in freedom. You knew that love. You experienced that love. You had that as your motive, and that alone as your motive. Who started to hinder you? I think back to the bike. It'd be like, who clamped the brakes again? Can you imagine if my brother heard the brakes like squealing? He'd be like, what are you doing? Who did that? The Galatians have moved away from a faith filled love, a faith expressed by love. And they're back to the grind of human effort. They're away from freedom. And he goes back into a bit of a warning before he shows us a perfect example of what freedom looks like. Verse 9, he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It doesn't take much for a little bit of works-based, a little bit of law, a little bit of me, to saturate and permeate through the whole thing. Don't give a little bit a foothold. That's why I said before, like, it's so important to continue to preach the gospel to ourselves, to continue to bask in the grace, in the goodness, to remind ourselves of the love that we've received and all of these things. But isn't it so true that we give a little bit and that starts to spread through the whole thing? My heart, for me to want to look at my own accomplishments, for me to think that I've earned something on my own, that I was saved, but I wasn't like that bad. No, it's a little leaven that spreads through the whole lump. Beware the grip that human law so quickly can spread on your heart, my heart, and our hearts. But as you continue to read through, you can see Paul has a confidence that the Galatians will choose their freedom. And his language is pretty strong about it, too. He's confident that they're going to choose the freedom, probably because it's so good. But he also continues to warn about the people who are putting the brakes on and continuing to hinder and put the yoke of slavery back on. The language is strong. The one troubling you, he says, will bear penalty. It's frightening to think about what a penalty for someone who would be leading someone away from the gospel would be. But he also says those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Also harsh. And he closes this passage after talking about the freedom that Christ has given us to freely express our love to him, and that being the motive, and warning about these other things that continue to grip our heart with what slavery is. He wants to clearly paint a picture of, you want to know what it looks like to freely go in this life. You want to know what freedom looks like and feels like. And he gives an example that everyone could relate to in how they saw it or how they experienced it and how they felt it. As he shows what faith expressed in love looks like. In verses 13, 14, and 15, he says that that freedom is expressed by faith as we practice that love to each other. Faith is expressed through love as we practice that love to each other. You want to experience that freedom that Christ has set you free to run in and be part of? Well, one way that you're going to see it in an experience. Love, those words there. It's the same words in verse 6, and there's a connection there. Through love in our righteousness to God, and now here it is, through love in serving each other. There's a loving God aspect in our freedom, and then there's a practical loving each other's part of our freedom, and faith is expressed as we serve and love one another. This is what freedom dwellers look like. This is how freedom dwellers live. And he quotes the law. He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, which is also quoting Jesus, because Jesus placed a lot of significance on this as well. Remember, Jesus said it comes down to loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Jesus picked up on this as well and taught it. And so right here, we see that our faith is expressed with how we love God, and that being our motive, and it's expressed with how we love each other. You know what's wild about that word, serve? But through love, serve one another. That, you know what's so wild about that word, serve? It means to serve or to be a slave. Play that back through a passage that is talking about freedom. You've been set free to be in freedom, to be a slave to each other in love. That's what slavery looks like, is to each other, to a love, to a submissiveness to each other as we look and we love each other. That's what real freedom looks like. It's a love unlike anything that the world can compete with. You think about how much the world talks about love and what love is or what love is not. And here, this love is un- There's not a category in the world for this kind of love to be set free. And in that freedom that I have, to choose to place myself as a servant to you, Dominic, and to you, Luke, and Stephanie, and to each other, all of us here, for us to choose to love each other in that way as a servant to each other. It's powerful. If I'm not a servant of love to each of you, then my faith is not expressed through love, which is what he says through love, faith expressed through love. If I've not made myself a servant to you, a slave, totally controlled by a motive of love for each of you, then my freedom is not fully expressed. It was for freedom that you were set free, and that freedom is expressed through love to each other. Look at verse 15. It says, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Our actions are not always to love. Sometimes it's to bite. Sometimes we hurt each other. I cannot tell you the number of times, not just here, outside of here, friends all over the country, people that I talk to who talk about, man, and maybe you can relate to this, man, some of the worst wounds that I've had in my life are bites from the flock of Christ. We can probably relate a little bit to that, where it says, bite, watch out that you do not bite. We devour, and when we do you hear this? The motive is what's missing. It's the freedom that is lacking. It's the not living in the state of release of bondage that is what's lacking there. We do it to each other. We do it to the global church at points. We say things about people we never met and churches we never attended. Be careful. We're not motivated out of fear to love each other, or obligation, because that's what we're not playing nice here, guys. It's not a show or a facade or something that we just act out for an hour and 15 minutes on a Sunday morning. This is part of our freedom that we get to enjoy and partake in, that I know that when you show up, you're thinking about yourself as a servant in love through love to express your faith to me, and I'm looking to do the same to you. It reminds me of Jesus in the upper room, right? How does he demonstrate love to his disciples? Well, he puts himself in a posture of servant to them as he washes their feet. And then he tells them to go and do likewise. And he says, actually, John 13, verses 33 through 35, this is how people are going to know that you're my disciples, by the way that you love one another. For the world to see this love on display speaks volumes, because this is a freedom and this is a love that has no category, because it's rooted in a one-time act of love that could never be replicated, the love of Jesus and what he's given us. And now we express that out in a way that doesn't make any other sense other than to say we've received a great love and now we offer a great love. Our freedom is expressed through a love to God, and that's our motive in our pursuit of holiness. And our freedom is expressed through love to each other as we become servants to each other. Think about that sort of freedom for a second. That sort of safety for a second. People serving and loving each other, people's lives being transformed and growing in holiness, not because they have to, but because they want to, as a motive of loving God. And the question is this: why would we ever go back? Why would we clamp the brake again? They and committing themselves to loving and discipling and being part of that. I've seen it over and over. And yet I also know, and I've been consistent the last couple weeks, to say to all of us, elders, deacons, all leadership, trustees, search team, any member, any person here, to do the hard work of thinking, okay, what does it look like for me to love each other? What would that look like? And sometimes that might feel far off. That might seem difficult, but let me encourage you here today. First of all, I see it regularly shown in beautiful ways, which is awesome, but let me just encourage us here. It's felt far off at points, but it's not. Because it's merely us just experiencing the freedom that we've already been given. We know what that freedom is, and it's a delightful and an enjoyable, good, safe, free place for us to be, a release from the bondage of anything else. You've been given to stand firm in that. And so if there's anything that is off with that in your heart, I encourage you, work that out. Not guilt, not shame, not pressure, but because of freedom, because of love. Because that's our motivation, and that's our motive for all of it. We know that. And so, we've been given that. It's a delightful, enjoyable lakefront bike ride without the hindrance of brakes. May we delight, Bethel Community Church, again in that today and always. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for the freedom that you've given us. God, we love you. We're here because of your love and what you've done for us. God, I pray that you would align our hearts for that to be our motive in all things. It's in Jesus' name.